This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Rolling out the welcome mat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. International tourism is big business, but the United States hasn't been very competitive since the 9/11 terrorist attacks, almost 8 years to the day. Government border checks and passenger screenings have made the U.S. a less attractive destination for international travelers. Today, the Senate is likely to approve a proposal to help change that. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The bill would set up a nonprofit corporation that could spend as much as $100 million a year promoting international travel to the U.S. The money would come from a $10 fee charged to foreign tourists on a visa waiver program. Conservative critics say this is just another case of the government taking over work that should be done by the private sector. But the travel industry says government-imposed barriers at the border have hurt their business. They claim the extra tourism promotion would attract another 1.5 million visitors, with each one adding over $4,000 to the U.S. economy. The $10 cost to visitors is a lot lower than what other countries charge, according to the bill's sponsors, but the European Union is warning that some U.S. travelers to Europe could face retaliatory fees if Congress approves the program. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. European shares are down right now, under 0.5%, but on Wall Street it was a day of gains. The S&P and NASDAQ up just shy of 1%. The Dow was up about 56 points to close at 94.97. The financial services firm WestRock is going far from its headquarters in New York for an owner. The firm is being acquired by an Indian tribe from South Dakota. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, it's said to be the first 100% Native American tribe to own a financial services company.
We are a small tribe located in central South Dakota. We have approximately 3,600 members at this time.
That's Michael Jandro, chairman of the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe. Until today, the tribe made its money selling popcorn, farming, and doing construction. Now it's entering a whole new world.
As far as coming to Wall Street, it's new, it's exciting.
And it's potentially very lucrative, because even though the firm will have the same regulatory oversight as any other broker-dealer, its tax status will be different. Tribes are not subject to federal income tax, and WestRock CEO Don Hunter says there are other advantages.
Public pension funds have to set aside anywhere between 7% and 30% of their assets to minority corporations. So to go in and raise money, you have tremendous advantages by walking in the door just being a minority. And in fact, Indians are, they go ahead of the other minority firms.
Professor Bruce Dutu teaches Native American studies at Dartmouth. He says the deal is the latest evidence of a growing trend.
Indian tribes are very well prepared and willing to enter into new markets and new activities that really stretch the bounds of their sovereignty and not being tied to agriculture and, more recently, casinos.
But Dutu says because of the unique legal circumstances involved, both sides should be careful dealing with each other. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
We heard today Moody's credit rating agency doesn't expect to downgrade the sovereign debt of leading AAA-rated nations. The Financial Times reports despite huge government debt, downgrades aren't likely in the near future for the U.S., Britain, Germany, France, and Spain. Loss of AAA status would raise the cost of financing public debt.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. and by MassMutual, sponsoring the retirement planning documentary Retirement Revolution, September 15th on PBS. Local listings at pbs.org.
Yeah, cuckoo ca-choo. It's another British invasion, all right, but the only tour the Beatles will be part of this time is from a box. The video game The Beatles Rock Band is in stores today. It allows players to sing while playing on instruments modeled after the ones played by the Fab Four. The game was developed by Harmonix and published by Viacom's MTV Games. Joining us to talk about what kind of business sense this all makes is Rob Levine, executive editor of Billboard magazine. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, too.
What kind of money are we talking about, Rob?
I've seen some predictions that this will sell 5 million copies between now and the end of the year. You know, some of those copies go for $60. Some of them go for up to $250, depending on what edition of the game you buy. Rock Band as a franchise, as a business, the various editions together, has made well over $1 billion so far. Now, it'll probably make another billion just this calendar year.
Talk a little bit about the transaction and what took place. We're not just talking about publishing rights. We're talking about likenesses and photos and films and personal stories and all of that. I mean, that sounds like an expansive business model right there.
There's a story in the LA Times that says that MTV could pay the Beatles as much as $40 million. But that's only if that game hits certain benchmarks. And believe me, if this game hits those benchmarks, everybody's going to be getting rich. The one thing you see with the Beatles, they tend to pursue big deals that are expensive, but everyone tends to do well over a while. If you look at the Love Show in Las Vegas, the partnership between the Beatles and Cirque du Soleil, that was very expensive, roughly sort of similar. But look at that show now. It's been going for a few years already. I was in Vegas a few months ago, and it was sold out on the early show on a weeknight during a pretty bad recession. What you've seen is the deals tend to pay off. Same thing with the Across the Universe movie.
How does this game change the video game industry, Rob?
One of the things the video game business really wants to do is to sell consoles. So let's say I'm a big Beatles fan. I absolutely have to have this. I might go out, spend $300 on an Xbox or a PlayStation 3 and buy the Beatles game. Well, what's going to happen? I only have one game. I'm going to want a few other games. That's the real win for the video game business.
Rob Levine, the executive editor of Billboard magazine, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
By the way, the Beatles are also releasing a remastered song catalog today in stereo and in mono. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.